Hey, everybody, welcome to the Canon Quarantina. I guess that's what we're going to call it now here in this post-COVID world. Things are a lot different than the last time when I recorded a podcast episode, and that wasn't even a week ago. So that's crazy. A lot has been going on. How's it going, everybody? This is Mike, one of your usual co-hosts. I am broadcasting from Salt Lake Base here on planet Utah, and I am joined by the ancient astromech that I found in my garage, B5TR. How's it going, Buster? Yeah, it's different out there, that's for sure. Our co-host and Star Wars best friend, Jesse, as you are probably aware, is still on paternity leave with a very young newborn back in Tulsa. So he was unable to find the spare hours to be awake to hop on the podcast this week. And that is okay. I've been there. I remember those early days of the eat and sleep and shifts in the cycle and everything. Not fun. So everybody send some positive thoughts to Jesse and his family as they are not only dealing with a newborn, but a newborn in this weird social distancing time, I guess. So I just want to give everybody a little update on the status of the show. Now that we are in this new quarantine world, all the schools have shut down. We're keeping the youngling out of daycare. So what my original schedule when I left my job a few weeks ago was I was going to spend most of my time with our 2.5-year-old youngling, but he was still going to go to daycare a couple half days a week and then spend Thursdays with his grandparents. Those were my days to get things done podcasting, and those are all gone now. So I am just squeezing things in after he goes to bed. So my original plan for the three things we're going to talk about today, I wanted all of these bits to be their own shows. And if we can get back to a sense of normalcy, maybe we will split things up, because that was part of the goal of our relaunch of the show with season two, was to make things shorter, more focused, and more digestible and not cram everything into one episode. But that's just kind of the reality of the recording availability that I've got at this point. And if I sound a little bit like I'm sick, I'm not. I don't think I have it or anything. Haven't been around anybody. It's also getting warm and windy, and allergy season is kicking up, so that's getting me a little bit. So apologies if there's any of that that makes it into the final recording here. So maybe one day we'll return to that schedule where I'm able to do one or two, or maybe even three with my limited series, The Comments on Commentary, shorter episodes each week. But right now I'm cramming it all into one because this is all the free time I have to actually record something. All right, Buster, let's start with some news. Well, yes, we won't say that there's a bright side to all of this COVID quarantining, but as you are all aware, Disney Lucasfilm decided to release episode 9 a few days early digital, which is great. Maybe still my third favorite of the sequel trilogy, just like Return of the Jedi is my third favorite of the original trilogy, but still had a lot of fun with it. You do miss the movie theater experience for some of the big sound things. And I guess maybe if you have a good home theater system, you'll not miss out on just the sounds when like the Emperor shooting lightning into space and everything. Along with episode 9 coming out, Disney did me a solid and they released Frozen 2 on Disney Plus a few weeks early, which has already bought me several, you know, like half hour breaks of sanity with the young one while we've been stuck inside the house all day, every day. Another thing that's going to help me out is the new season of Galaxy of Adventures on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel. If you haven't checked out the first season, go watch it. Each one is just like a minute and a half episode. At first, I was skeptical when this series started that they were just reusing movie dialogue and putting that over some admittedly cool new animation. But they are great Star Wars bits targeted for kids. Youngling loves it whenever we get to watch one, you know, as a treat. So it's great. I'm excited to see. I think the first episode of the new season delves into the sequel era in more detail. So this should be fun as we start to get into this in the next few weeks. I'm recording this on Tuesday the 17th, so the Rise of Skywalker expanded novelization is out. didn't get an advanced copy or anything, obviously, so I hadn't read it yet. And I actually downloaded the Audible version, so I'll be chugging through that in the next few weeks. Maybe we'll have a review of that up if we deem that it's, you know, different enough from our thoughts on the movie to go ahead and say something about that. But I am excited to get into it just with the excerpts that I've read on StarWars.com from Ray Carson. And make sure you all are being nice to Ray Carson and all authors, Star Wars or not, on social media. I'm forgetting the specific name of the person who runs the account, but last week there was the post from somebody that works at Del Rey saying, I'm paraphrasing, but I wish I could say that every author that we approach to write Star Wars is excited to do it and not scared off by the toxic community. That's a little more extreme than what he actually said, but the gist is right. A lot of these bad actors online are not scaring off, but they're keeping talented authors and creators away from the Star Wars license. And that is just insane to me. Be nice to people. It's not that hard. I wasn't going to forget. Lastly, we are starting this Friday another arc in Season 7 of The Clone Wars. And Ahsoka is supposed to come back. So this is what I have been waiting for. The Bad Batch was fine. I'll talk about it here in more detail after we do our March Madness update. But I'm really excited to see the Ahsoka stuff and see how close we bump up to Episode 3 if we go into it a little bit. I hope that they keep this on a weekly release schedule and resist the temptation to dump it all at once just to help, you know, keep people sane. There's other great Star Wars content out there. Let's go ahead and keep the week-to-week excitement for Clone Wars Season 7. But before we get into the review of the Bad Batch arc, I want to give an update on our hashtag ThisIsSWMadness, our March Madness college basketball-style tournament, where we have a bracket of 64 characters taken from the George Lucas era, the OT and the PT, the sequel era of live-action animation, and legends. We take those 64 characters, put them in a bracket, put them head to head, and we put the matchups on Twitter. And thank you so much to everybody who voted in the first round. It took us a couple weeks to get through that. I thought I was going to have our timelines match up with the actual NCAA basketball tournament, but it was one of the first major events to get just canceled, not postponed, but canceled. I guess I don't have to follow their schedule anymore since that tournament's not happening. I'll follow my schedule and just kind of go at the pace I want. We'll try to drag this thing out through all of March and maybe do the title matchup in April. Now, if you're not a big sports fan or basketball fan, that's fine. How we broke this up was there are 64 characters from those four areas I mentioned, and they are divided up into four, quote, regionals, 16-team regional tournaments, and then the winner of each of those goes into a Final Four-style bracket. So the first place we did voting was the corporate sector regional to show some love to legends, and this had some of our more interesting matchups. I won't go through everything, but I'm going to talk about a few results and maybe some things that surprised me. Right off the bat, Luke Skywalker's the number one seed in this regional, should probably win it. And he went up against number 16 clone Commander Cody. And Luke won comfortably, but Cody still got 20% of the vote, which I didn't really think he'd get any. So that was something that I didn't really expect. Another thing that I did not expect or plan for was a tie, and it happened in the very first round. The 8-9 matchup, 8 General Grievous and 9 Hondo Ohnaka tied after 1 week of voting, exactly 50% for each character. Wasn't anticipating that, so they went to overtime and got another week of voting, and Hondo did end up winning that matchup. We had an upset in this regional as well. We had number 7, Captain Rex from Clone Wars and Rebels, taking on number 10, Grand Moff Tarkin. And it was close, but Grand Moff Tarkin actually edged out the win in the first round, 52% to 48%. With the just Clone Wars mania going on right now, I would not have expected that. But it's fun to see that not every favorite wins in the first round. The last matchup I'm going to talk about in this regional was another favorite who got pushed. Grand Admiral Thrawn came in at number 5, and Rose Tico was a number 12 seed. I thought that Rose would have a chance, and she absolutely did. It turned out to be a very close vote. Thrawn won with 53% of the vote, and he's moving on to face Poe in the next round. So we'll see if another sequel era hero can knock off the Legends Thrawn. So the current matchups now that we're in the second round of the Corporate Sector Regional, we have number one Luke Skywalker taking on number nine Hondo Ohnaka. So that was an upset when Hondo beat Grievous. Number five Thrawn taking on number four Poe. Number three Jyn Erso, she won in a landslide. She's taking on number six C-3PO. And then that other upset I was talking about, number 10, Grand Moff Tarkin, taking on number 2, Din Djarin, the Mandalorian. Voting is up for this one now, and it's up for 5 or 6 more days. So when you listen to this, make sure you go vote. Just look for the threads on our Twitter account. The second bracket that we have, we're calling the Deep Core Regional. And this one was a bit less interesting in terms of upsets or close matches as the Corporate Sector Regional was. Number 1 seed Rey ran away with it. Palpatine only won against L3 from Solo, 78-22. That was a little closer than I was expecting. We got our first shutout. Chewie got 100% of the vote over Kaz from Resistance. Sorry, Kaz. And another shutout, number 2, Obi-Wan Kenobi, 100% of the vote over Admiral Dalla, which a lot of people didn't actually know who Admiral Dalla was. So go back and we've done some old Legends episodes with her. She was one of the early, like, prominent female imperial officers back in Legends. She was a pretty interesting character, but obviously not a match for Obi-Wan Kenobi. So the matchups we have right now in the second round for this regional, we've got number one Rey taking on 8 Palpatine, and last time I looked that was close to even. Number 5 Harrison Dula taking on number 4 Chewie. Number 3 Kylo Ren / Ben Solo, we're treating them as one person, taking on number 6 R2-D2. And I think last time I looked, R2-D2 was actually winning that one. And number 7, Kira, up against number 2, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're right, Buster. Thank you for reminding me. When we started this, I said that I would read messages and Twitter replies that people left for us. And thank you so much to everybody that did leave comments in the first round. Since I'm just cramming this into one show with everything else, I didn't get all of those ready to read, so please comment on the voting for the second round, and hopefully I can split this off into its own show and be more prepared and have those ready to go. So sorry I don't have them right now handy. Please comment for the second round, and I will do better next time. All right, the next regional we have is the Naboo regional. Features Han and Leia at the top. Han is a 1 seed, Leia is the number 2, and we had 2 very, very close encounters in this bracket. Number 5, BB-8, I thought was going to run away with it. Narrowly edged out Sabine Wren, 52-48, Sabine being the 12 seed, so that was interesting. And then the 8-9 matchup I called Battle of the Murder Bots. Number 8, IG-11 versus number 9, Chopper. And it was close. IG-11 barely edged Chopper out at the end, 57-43%. So we had some close matches, but I don't believe any upsets in this bracket. So our current matchups are number 1, Han Solo versus number 8, IG-11. That if those two actually like went up against each other, that would be basically an attempt at a recreation of Indiana Jones with the pistol against the sword guy, with IG-11 being the sword guy spinning around, and Han would just blast his head off. Number 5, BB-8, taking on number 4, Anakin Skywalker. Anakin and Darth Vader are separate in this bracket, or in this tournament. Number 3 is the child, popularly known as Baby Yoda, taking on one of his caretakers now, Cara Dune. She won her first round matchup against Corran Horn. And the last matchup is number 7, Kanan Jarrus versus number 2, Leia. I don't think Kanan's got much of a shot there, but last I looked, he'd already gotten some votes, so it's already not a shutout. Maybe he can make a late push. And the last regional we have is taking place on Pasana. This one, again, I don't believe had any upsets, but had some surprisingly close results. Number 1 seed Ahsoka Tano won convincingly, but Dash Rindar, the Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb of the Star Wars universe, managed to garner 15% of the vote. Let's see what else. Oh, yes, we had a near upset with Mara Jade, I think the highest seeded Legends character, taking on number 13, Mr. Bones from the Aftermath trilogy. Mara won, but only 59% to 41. That would be just another matchup I'd like to actually see in like a comic or cartoon or something. Another Legends character did very well in this bracket, but couldn't quite pull off the upset. Kyle Katarn at number 11 garnered 44% of the vote, but couldn't quite get that last bit to beat out, hey, Babu Frick, who walked away with a win 56 to 44%. So the current matchups we have in this bracket, number one, Ahsoka Tano taking on number eight, Yoda, which was 50-50 last I looked at it. Number five, Lando taking on number four, Mara Jade. Number three, Finn versus number six, Babu Frick. And Babu was actually winning that when I checked earlier this evening. And then the last one is number seven, Padme Amidala versus number two, Darth Vader. It's Padme versus Darth Vader, not Padme versus Anakin. So if that affects your voting in any way, don't think of it as Padme trying to defeat Anakin. She's trying to defeat Darth Vader. I don't think she's going to have much of a problem with that. That's right. Voting for that will be up through, I believe, Sunday, the 22nd. And then after that, we will post the Sweet 16 round of voting. I'm having a great time with this. Hope you're enjoying it too. Even if you don't have the time to leave a comment justifying why you voted for somebody, just please make sure you check our Twitter account and go ahead and vote for your favorites in these matchups. And we'll see who turns out to be the champion in early April. So the next segment of the show today is something I want to spin off to be its own show here on our podcast feed. It would be a lot easier when it'd be a lot. So the next segment here on the show is something that will eventually be spun off into its own thing on our podcast feed. A new way of doing reviews. It'll be easier for me to spin this off into a standalone once Jesse comes back. But instead of reviewing something new, in this case, we're going to review the Bad Batch arc of the Clone Wars and the four comic limited run, The Rise of Kylo Ren. A lot of review shows try to just identify a number rating or number of stars for something, and that's not the approach that we're going to take with this. We're also not going to fanboy out over everything Star Wars, because a lot of people have issue being, you know, critical of Star Wars with things that are big problems or even just, you know, fun things to poke holes into. Star Wars is fun. It's okay to be silly about some things. If you've listened to the show for a while, you know that I laugh a lot while being critical of this galaxy far, far away that we all love so much. So instead of giving a score or a number of stars, we've come up with an idea for reviewing things called the balance. As we all know, there's a light side and a dark side to the Force. There's a light side and a dark side to fandom. How this is going to work is we're going to start with something good, something from the light that we liked about it, but follow that up with something a little critical or maybe something that didn't land quite right, and we're going to alternate those. One thing that's important to remember, though, just because the Jedi talk about balance in the Force, there is a light side, there is a dark side, we're always going to have more light side things that we talk about. We're always going to talk about more things that we like, even if that's hard to do, which it kind of happened with the Rise of Kylo Ren comic. We're always going to try to stay positive about Star Wars content and just Star Wars fandom, even though we might not be the hugest fans of something. So I've got my list here of things I liked and things that I didn't necessarily like from the Bad Batch arc of Clone Wars. We're going to alternate going through them, but again, we're always going to veer towards the light, just like Qui-Gon said when it was in some book that I actually haven't read talking about Grey Jedi. He says he will still always go to the light. And that's what we're doing. So I threw together this new intro. Hope you enjoy it. Buster, you ready?
What do you know about the Force? It's the energy between all things, the tension, the balance that binds the universe together.
I believe you will bring balance to the Force.
Balance. Half a life, half a darkness.
Could he bring balance to the Force?
Balance eludes him.
Follow the light.
Okay. Let's talk about the Bad Batch. Well, maybe before we get into the Bad Batch, for those that don't know, let me give you my background with the Clone Wars. I am just a little older than the prequel generation. I was a late original trilogy VHS slash, like, I was 8 or 9 when the special editions came out, so that was my Star Wars area. I still watch the prequels and I like them. I don't think they're great movies, but I like what exists in them. And I recognize that Clone Wars, the show, does a lot to improve on the storytelling of the prequel movies. However, this cartoon didn't come out till I was in almost graduating from college, I think. So I didn't actually watch this until I was an adult. I don't think I started it until 2015, seriously, when I actually had already moved out here to Utah, when it was still on Netflix. I watched the first several seasons. You know, it was when the sixth season was a Netflix exclusive. That's when I watched everything. So I didn't grow up with the Clone Wars or anything, but there are a lot of things from the series in general that I really do like. I think Ahsoka is fantastic, and just watching her growth from the beginning of the series and the movie to what we're going to get on Friday when her new episode drops is fantastic. And I really do love the clones. They did a good job making them individuals while still obviously being clones and one person doing the voice. I guess I also like the extra sides of the Separatists, like Admiral Trench from the Bad Batch arc, and just some of these other things that we didn't get enough of that would have been at the very end of Attack of the Clones or the very beginning of Revenge of the Sith. To get into the balance, the first thing that I'm going to talk about that I liked, this show looks great. To prepare for the release of Season 7, I didn't do a full rewatch, but Disney Plus picked, like, these are the 20 essential Clone Wars episodes, and I watched the last 7, and it was good, but I can already tell just from watching those episodes to the Bad Batch arc that the animation has improved. They've had a lot of time to work on it, which was great. But the other side of that coin, and my first dark side thing, if you will, here in the balance, is I've already seen this. So a few years ago, the early animatic for these episodes, I think all 4 of them, if not all 4 of them, I'm pretty sure at least the first 2 were put online, and I watched them. So I've already seen the adventures of Wrecker and Tech in the rest of the Bad Batch. That's not a real negative against this arc itself. It more has to do with my anticipation of Season 7. I want to see more of Ahsoka and the Jedi and the things leading up to Revenge of the Sith. So really, it was my own expectations that kind of hurt me on that one. That said, I love the Bad Batch themselves. The way that they really lean into this 80s stereotype. You've got your leader or your tactician, your sniper, your heavy hitter, and your tech guy. It's very, you know, like video game oriented, and actually kind of reminds me of Republic Commando, a game that was, I think, on the original Xbox that I'm pretty sure came out well before the Clone Wars started. You controlled a squad of 4 clone troopers who each did their specific things, and it's very similar to, like, if you played a video game and you controlled all 4 of the Bad Batch at the same time. I really like how they made the commander of the Bad Batch, like, they just gave him the Rambo headband, because why not at this point? Just really lean into it and own it. One thing that did take away from the Bad Batch, however, is Wrecker. I think Wrecker was just kind of annoying. I know. It wasn't so much, like, the voice or the look. I think he looks great, but they just made Wrecker seem unintelligent, and I guess he was just kind of annoying at times. He's my least favorite of the Bad Batch, and it actually made me stop and think, oh, this guy's kind of annoying a few times when I was watching it. Another thing that I really enjoyed, we got to see a bit more of aspects of the Confederacy of Independent Systems, in this case the Techno Union, Wat Tambor and the weirdos who, I guess they're rolling around on, like, hoverboards, because we never see their, like, legs moving. But I also really liked the flying I guess they're not B1 battle droids, but the battle droid style things that had wings and the 4 arms or whatever. Those were super cool. Wish we could have seen some more of them in video games or movies or something. But the next thing on my dark side list is maybe a little nitpicky. But hey, I picked this format. I kind of have to stick with it. There are a lot of leaps of logic in this arc. Yes, there are leaps of logic everywhere in Star Wars, and it's okay to point them out. Just don't let those ruin the experience for you. This was Clone Batch 99, and you ended up with 4 specialist commandos. Why didn't you just make more Bad Batches? Take what you did for them and do that again. You don't need your entire Grand Army of the Republic to be Bad Batches, but seems like having, you know, a couple hundred of these elite commando units would go a long way. The next thing I really liked doesn't have to do with the clones at all, actually, but it goes back to Anakin. We're seeing just how near the dark side he is flying. He's getting kind of murdery when they're stuck on the ship. And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go find Trench and make him fix this for us. And the way he threatens Trench, and it's not an empty threat. He cuts off a couple of his arms, I think, and then just murders him. But none of the other Jedi are there to stop him or know or make sure that he's, you know, walking this back from the dark side. So this shows, you know, a logical progression of just his descent to the dark side that culminates with murdering Count Dooku at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. Going back to the clones over on the dark side column here, I guess I am glad that they managed to put Echo in the show again somehow. I was never super attached to Echo as an individual character, and I think that the trope of, they captured one of ours and turned him into a cyborg, I guess that matches with kind of the 80s vibe of the Bad Batch. I just felt like Echo being there made Rex make a lot of decisions that seemed out of character. And to be fair, the version of Rex that I am more familiar with is from Rebels. I've watched Rebels more than I have the Clone Wars. So maybe if I'd seen more Clone Wars recently, maybe I wouldn't think that. And this last thing on my positive list, like I said, we've gone one for one, light and dark. We're always going to end on the light, so we tip that way. This one I just thought was funny. When Obi-Wan and Mace Windu are about to face off against hundreds of battle droids, Mace Windu's speech, where he's like, I am General Mace Windu, Jedi Knight of the Grand Army of the Republic or whatever. I have slaughtered hundreds of thousands of you. Lay down your arms and be reprogrammed. I actually laughed out loud at that, just because I was in my head picturing Samuel L. Jackson doing that, which makes it even funnier because he'd actually be yelling it a lot more than maybe the actor in the Clone Wars does. And it also really reminded me of Austin Powers 3, I think, when he goes back in time to save his dad, and his dad is Michael Caine, who's beating up all the nameless bad guys. And he's like, look, you don't even have a name tag. You should just surrender. And that's, I don't know, that's basically what Mace Windu was telling these droids. So overall, I really did like the Bad Batch arc. I was really just kind of disappointed that it wasn't totally new stuff and I had to wait 4 weeks to get through this. It's not like it was bad to get through and I didn't enjoy it. It's just not the part of this season that I was excited about. So that's our first The Balance review of The Bad Batch. We're also going to put The Balance to the test as we review The Rise of Kylo Ren comic written by Charles Soule. So before I dive into The Balance of this comic series, I guess I should also give some background on just my, you know, feelings on Kylo Ren and everything now that the sequel trilogy has ended. I liked Adam Driver's performance as Kylo Ren, Ben Solo. I think he's great. But he was never one of my favorite new characters. I'm not a shipper, not into shipping. I don't really understand it. I have no problem with those that do. Go right ahead. It's your fandom. Make it your thing. But I never understood the hashtag save Ben Solo stuff that was going on after Rise of Skywalker came out. Rise of Skywalker actually did things with Ben Solo that I didn't expect that I liked. I was against Ben Demption and I was against Reylo, but the version that we got in Rise of Skywalker, I actually did like. So it accomplished something for me, even though it made a lot of Ben Solo stands angry. So that's kind of where I fall with just this character, my mindset going into reading the comic series. So starting with the light side, and I realize that this first point is very similar to what I said about the Bad Batch arc. It looks great. The art is fantastic. I feel like that it's worth putting on here for the comic series, even though it's a repeat of the Bad Batch arc, because if you listened to our previous season where we were going through the canon timeline, I hated a lot of the art in the first run of Marvel Comics, but this actually looks very good. The people and beings are very detailed, but not at the cost of the technology, like the ships that we see. And there's not the weird, like, superimposition of the actors' faces on a animated body that we got in some of those. So this comic is beautiful. And the biggest problem with it is the Knights of Ren are dumb. They have served no purpose in the sequel trilogy whatsoever. They were something mentioned as almost an afterthought in episode 7. And to me, their mention in episode 7 was a lot like when the Clone Wars were mentioned in episode 4. Something that you go, oh, that's neat. I'd like to learn more about that. And then the Clone Wars got a 7-season animated series and like 2 movies around it to expand on the Clone Wars. I know the Knights of Ren are a smaller group than, you know, a war that encompasses the galaxy, but the explanation we've gotten for them is just dumb. The Ren is a red lightsaber that the leader of the Knights of Ren burns himself on because he's like a bad 90s Marvel Comics villain. I guess maybe Penance was in the 2000s. But the leader of the Knights of Ren is stupid. He talks way too much. And the comic gives us the like impression that the Knights of Ren just kind of go around the galaxy, like the mid-rim, doing what they want. Surely people would have known about them. I felt like they would have been much scarier as like a shadow organization. They were just hanging out in a cantina in the mid-rim. This requirement to join them of needing to feel the shadow. I'm actually fine with different groups calling the Force different things. I've been on the record with that. But saying you also need to have a good death to join us. You have to have a good kill. That's just, again, very 90s and over the top and dumb. And I think the biggest drawback for the Knights of Ren is we've never had reason to be scared of them. We've never seen them succeed in anything. Yes, they captured Chewie, but we didn't see it. I wish we'd gotten like a fight scene of Chewie against Knights of Ren. That would have been very cool. When Ben Solo is taking them on Exegol, he just punks them. So the Knights of Ren are just not a threat. And maybe that's the underlying point. I don't know. But I don't think that lands very well with me. Anyway, just the Knights of Ren as an organization, they're like the Bad Batch done poorly, because the Knights of Ren have specializations. We've got Blade Guy and Gun Guy and Flamethrower Guy, but they're not interesting like the 4 members of the Bad Batch are. So I know I rambled a lot on that one. I'm still counting that as just one point of the Knights of Ren being dumb. Another thing that I really did like was the new characters that we got in this series, Hennix, Vo, and Ty. They were other apprentices at Luke's Jedi Academy. Hennix was a Quarren, Vo and Ty were 2 humans, and they are the ones that found Ben Solo immediately after the Jedi Temple was destroyed. They're all characterized pretty well for limited pages in a 4-issue comic arc, and their chase of Ben Solo across the galaxy is very interesting. While we're on the temple, though, my next thing on the dark side is we're left with some ambiguity about the destruction of the Jedi Temple. It was laid out in the movies that Ben Solo destroyed it, but the way the art is delivered here, there's some ambiguity on did Palpatine launch lightning from across the galaxy to do it. It left, I don't know, like I said, ambiguity, where some fans are using that as ammunition to say, look, see, it wasn't Ben Solo, who was a grown-ass adult at this point, doing something bad. He was being taken advantage of, again, as a grown-ass adult. So the way I'm going to walk away from that is, yes, Ben destroyed the temple. Maybe he didn't mean to, but he let his dark side nature kind of overtake him. And even he was surprised when the temple was destroyed, because he didn't actively want that, but it did happen, and it was his fault. The next light side thing, however, is basically the focus of the second issue, and it was awesome. Luke, Lorsan Tekka, and young Ben Solo, happens in a flashback, they're looking for Jedi artifacts, and they encounter the Knights of Ren, who are trying to loot at this Jedi site, and Luke just beats the piss out of all of the Knights of Ren by himself. I know this was a rumored scene that was supposed to happen in episode 9, or maybe 8. Yeah, I think it was actually rumored that this was going to happen in 8, that Luke and Rey would fight off the Knights of Ren on Octo Island. But we get to see it in comic form. Luke is barely even challenged by the Knights of Ren, even though they are moderate-ish Force users. 1-on-7 handles them easy. And then their leader, the Knight of Ren or whatever, the Ren, you know, kind of talks his way out of it. And Luke just says, I'm going to send you all crying, which is great. Jumping back to the dark side, the person who has been influencing or, quote, grooming Ben Solo for the dark side this whole time, Snoke, does appear in this comic series, and it's exceedingly stupid as well. He's on a planet of his own that's just a jungle world. He's not wearing his gold bathrobe. He's wearing, like, just kind of green and brown jungle clothing. I don't know. Snoke World is dumb, and Snoke's appearance in this comic is dumb. At this point, I think we can say that Snoke is dumb, and Rian Johnson did us a favor by offing him in the second movie of the series. Now, I know I've dogged on this a lot, and if you haven't gotten the sense overall, I really didn't enjoy this comic series, but there's one thing that I absolutely loved, and it was when we got flashback to Luke training the kids at the Jedi Temple, young Ben Solo, young Hennix, Vo, and Ty. It's a new description of the Force. The Force is not about how many midichlorians you have, but to paraphrase Luke, every Jedi or every person is a doorway for the Force. Some people just start with the door farther open. So people who are naturals at using the Force, like Ben Solo, they're starting from that, quote, place of privilege with their connection to the Force is so strong, the Force flows through them freely, while other Jedi might have to learn to open that door or open that gate to let the Force flow through them better. I think that's a very cool description, and I like that that's what Luke was teaching at the Jedi Temple in canon now. It wasn't, oh, you were born to be the most powerful Jedi. It was like, ah, no, you're starting ahead because the door is open farther for you. It doesn't mean it can't be open for anyone else. Which, that kind of mirrors what we see with Finn, I think. Maybe you think it's kind of forced in to Episode 9, his connection to the Force. But viewing the Force as something, you know, that people can open a door and let flow through them, as Finn learns about the Force in Episode 7 and moving on through 8, you know, he starts to crack that door open and become more connected. Maybe he never becomes a full Jedi, but he definitely has a connection to the Force because he's been able to open that door just a little more as each movie went on. So my next dark side goes back to Kylo Ren, Ben Solo again. He was an adult when all of this happened. So he is presented as far too whiny and emo of a character. Yes, you may not have had a good experience with your life. You may not have enjoyed the pressure of having famous parents and two famous names, Ben Solo. And he did even crack a joke at how his dad's last name is made up. But the choices that Ben Solo makes in becoming Kylo Ren, I see too many fans explain those away as it's not his fault. He was a victim of circumstances and pressure. And sure, Snoke, Palpatine, the dark side, they influenced him. But he was an adult, when all of this happened. He made these choices to go down that path and embrace the dark side. So he's not, you know, a victim. He's a tragic character. And good stories need tragic characters. Just because he happens to be one that you like doesn't mean he needs to be innocent or the victim in a situation like this. And that ties into something I did like. In Ben Solo's final encounter with Ty, one of his Jedi classmates, Ty basically says this to him. He says, what you're doing is just wrong. A path to the dark side has two ways. Just turn and go the other direction. You can make a choice to start fixing what you have done. I think Ben Solo is more interesting when he's choosing to do all of these things. He's not forced into them as a victim of his own circumstance. So the comic series ends with a big fight. I'm going to go ahead and spoil it in case you hadn't figured that out by now. Ben Solo becomes leader of the Knights of Ren by killing the current leader of the Knights of Ren. And then he takes his blue lightsaber and turns it into the lightsaber that we see in the movies. And an addition to new canon that I've never liked, and I think it showed up first either in the Rogue One prequel Catalyst or maybe the Ahsoka novel, this concept of damaged or bleeding kyber crystals, turning them to the dark side, not a fan. Basically, Ben Solo cracks his kyber crystal in his hand and gets all angry, and then it turns red and goes to be his red lightsaber. I like his red lightsaber. I just don't like this concept of I injured the Kyber crystal or bled it to turn it red to make it serve the dark side better. Crystals are crystals, man. Even if it's difficult, when we're discussing the balance, we're going to end on the light side. And that's what I had to think a little bit to do that here. But in the art of Kylo Ren's final confrontation with, I guess I should say, in the art of Ben Solo's final confrontation with the leader of the Knights of Ren, that's happening in the middle of a two-page spread, their lightsaber fight. And in the corners, we see different characters that are invested through the Force in this fight. We see Snoke. We see Leia. We see Luke. We see Emperor Palpatine. He shows up in the last couple pages of this comic. The light side characters either feel a disturbance. Rey is one of them. They feel that something is wrong or something bad has happened. Like, I think Leia knows something bad is happening with her son. And we see, you know, Snoke and Palpatine doing the, yes, take your final steps. It is your birthright. Ma, ba, ba. So, I don't know. It's very well done art-wise and does provide a good tie to what happens in the movies after that. So that was my attempt to balance the light and the dark of The Rise of Kylo Ren. Even though I did not enjoy the comic series overall, we did still come up with more good things to talk about than bad. And I guess that will do it for our first two entries into The Balance, our new way of reviewing things. I think it's interesting, forces us to look at different perspectives on new content. If we can make The Balance more interesting or punch it up a little bit, leave a comment, send us an email. I enjoy reviewing things this way. I hope you did too. And that will do it for our hodgepodge episode here in the middle of the week. Once again, I apologize for not getting out our separate episodes for everything, but with the world in the state it's in and trying to record a podcast in the same house as a hyperactive 2.5-year-old, it's real hard to find the time to do all of that. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Canon Cantina. Buster, you got anything else to say to the people? Yeah, it's time to wrap it up. Good luck. Stay safe out there, everybody. We'll hopefully be back with new episodes next week. Cheers, and may the Force be with you.
Boring conversation anyway.